Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Danny Werfel, Controller, Office of Federal Financial Management within OMB. So, Danny, you mentioned in the last segment, you identified some of the challenges you face in your role. And I want to step back a bit and talk about some of the top financial management priorities the administration's focusing in on towards the tail end of its last year.
Well, the way I think about the work that we're doing, I put it into two different buckets of activities. It's either about cutting waste or it's about building a government for the 21st century. We have this initiative we call the Campaign to Cut Waste. It was launched by the president through an executive order last spring in June, put the vice president in charge of it, which, you know, relates back to my – I've had several opportunities to work with the vice president directly, first on the Recovery Act, now on the Campaign to Cut Waste, and the whole vice president's team, who are fantastic to work with. We have a whole variety of different things we're trying to achieve under the Campaign to Cut Waste. We are cutting administrative savings, things like IT, printing, travel, vehicles or fleet. You know, this is kind of the bread and butter stuff that won't necessarily, you know, eliminate our deficit by any stretch, but represent two things. First, they represent dollars, and every dollar counts. I'm the most frugal guy I know. So if I hear about an agency that involved in something where $5,000 was wasted or $5 million or $50 million, I'm upset. In either way, you know, I every dollar counts, and these are practical things that can be done. We don't have to get rid of an automobile. That's fine, just because we're interested in the next upgrade. We can hold on to our vehicles longer. You know, we don't need a printer on every desk. We don't need to travel just for the sake of travel without a critical purpose for that travel. We issued that 20% cut requirement back in November of 2011, and then we put in the president's budget all the agency's commitments on that 20% cut, and it totaled $8 billion. And then within the Campaign to Cut Waste, there's other things. There's improper payments. There's managing our real estate more effectively. And I'd say on the 21st century government, there's a lot going on, but to pick a top priority, I'd pick how are we going to move forward in open government and transparency. And in particular, where I have the most responsibility and where I lose the most sleep at night is how are we making federal spending more transparent? All of those things are part of a strategic set of priorities that I'm working on with the financial management community.
The government makes trillions of dollars in payments every year, and I'm sure there's going to be improper payments to some degree no matter what you do. Could you talk a little bit, first of all, what is an improper payment, and then get into, I know it's an important area for you, the actions you're taking to reduce improper payments in government?
We pay a lot of money out. We pay benefits to individuals. We pay contractors. We reimburse doctors for Medicare bills, grants to states, all different variations of payments. We guarantee loans, et cetera. And we make mistakes. The money goes in the wrong amount. It can go to the wrong individual. It could go in the right amount to the right individual, but then be used for the wrong purpose. And so these are the types of mistakes. The more typical improper payment occurs when we lack the ability to validate whether the payment is right or not. The largest sources of error in the government are in Medicare and Medicaid. They make up half our balance sheet. And there's a whole different, you know, it's a very complex terrain in terms of how we can make different types of errors in Medicare. Sometimes the issues can be really, really challenging to authenticate. But within all of this, what we've tried to do is find the errors where we have the best chance of initiating changes to improve. And there are some promising areas where we are leveraging data and technology and innovations in ways to drive down these errors, and I'm very excited about that.
Danny, following up with that last theme of using technology, can you give us some success stories or types of technology you're using to reduce improper payments?
Absolutely. I think the way I'd summarize it as a global matter is we all know that we live in an information age, and that information age is changing rapidly, and it's very dynamic. we have access to so many different sources of information that federal agencies didn't have before that can help us make smarter decisions about who a person is, what their household size is, if that's relevant to the eligibility determination, you know, what their income is. We can manage that data more effectively. Let me give you some real life examples. In Medicare, as an example, one of the causes of error can be that we have people that are defrauding the government. What HHS is getting better and better at doing is figuring out when there's an unusual number of procedures in a certain location. So they'll say, oh, look, there have been 6 endoscopies in a 3-day period in this rural part of Texas. That is an anomaly. That's unusual. HHS has set up an entire what they call fraud lab, where they have data analysts kind of looking at this network and macro of data to look at these different issues. And again, that is a major game changer. That did not exist 5, 6, 7 years ago. And it is the advent of new technologies, new forensic approaches that is making those changes happen.
Well, I'd like to go forward about transparency. You mentioned transparency and making financial information from the federal government more transparent to the user. I want to tackle that as one of your priorities. What did you learn from the Recovery Act, and what are some of the key lessons learned in that area, and what more needs to be done?
Well, it's a great question. When the Recovery Act was enacted in February 2009, it required the development of a new nationwide cross-government data system, and for it all to be done in a matter of months, the technology, the definition of the data, and then the various training and outreach to what turned out to be over 100,000 different recipients that we're going to have to report. And we learned so much about ourselves as a government, about the challenges we have, the fact that our data and our accounts are not standardized, that in many ways the information that we hold in our financial systems doesn't lend itself well to being produced in a way that the citizens are demanding and can be well understood. And we learned about, you know, some of the challenges that can take place when you rely on the recipients to report information. I first thought this is great because it takes all the pressure off us. The recipients will be the responsible party. So if the city of Oakland, as an example, misreports the number of jobs they created, then, you know, the city of Oakland is going to feel the wrath of the local media, of Congress, of GAO, of all, you know, because they have the responsibility to report. And boy, was I wrong, because when mistakes were made, it ultimately fell, as I should have predicted, on the president and on the executive branch of government. And the big lesson learned there is that at the end of the day, you have to root everything back to the agency. The agency has to have a solid and comprehensive understanding of what it's paying out, who it's paying out to, and needs to manage any anomalies in the data. They needed to, ultimately, even though the recipient was the one reporting, the agency should have immediately picked up on the fact that the congressional district was wrong there. And so as we move forward on spending transparency, I think there is this debate that's going on in some circles about whether we anchor the program to what the agencies are reporting they spent out versus what the recipients are reporting they receive. And I think the ultimate answer is that both data points are going to be necessary. They have to reconcile to one another. But ultimately, it's the agency that's going to be what we call the control total.
Well, that's interesting. Are you folks doing anything? Are there any key initiatives around strengthening and improving the quality of reporting for financial information?
Yeah, and that's another place where the Recovery Act comes into play. Let me give you an example of what I think is the most important thing that we're doing and why it's so important. We have the federal version of an income statement, and that information is produced, it's audited, and we spend a lot of resources on technology and processes to report that information and have it audited and have it being reliable. And we do a very good job at it. Over time, we've gotten much, much better at it. The issue is that all of that energy around making sure that every I is dotted and T is crossed and all that data is accurate is done outside of the context of our USA spending reporting. What happens is that you're missing an opportunity there to build into an existing quality control process that we've spent a lot of time on and invested in and have up and running and have developed very well. You're not using that to audit and to initiate quality control on your Recovery Act or your USA spending information. So we're trying to do something to bring those two together. So we created, OMB did, what we call the Statement of Spend. It's a new statement that hadn't existed before. And we've had different agencies piloting this statement of spend. And the notion would be it would be a financial statement that would aggregate critical information on what you're spending that if you were to get a clean audit opinion on that statement of spend, it would be an indicator that the information you're feeding into USA spending is reliable and it's comprehensive. We think that's going to have a large impact on improving reliability over time.
How is OMB working to transform the way government does business? We will ask Danny Werfel, Controller, Office of Federal Financial Management within OMB, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.